Chapter 90. Feel myself ashamed and completely circumscribed in a dressing of you, for you are a nice gal, and nothing but it. Apostrophe, that's a worry pretty sentiment. Apostrophe, said the elder Mr. Weller, removing his pipe to make way for the remark. Yes, I think it is rather good, apostrophe observed Sam, highly flattered. What I like in that ear style of writin', apostrophe said the elder Mr. Weller, is, that there ain't no callin' names in it, no weenuses, nor nothin' o' that kind. What's the good o' callin' a young woman a weenus or a angel, Sammy? Apostrophe apostrophe, ah. What, indeed? Apostrophe replied Sam. You might just as well call her a griffin, or a unicorn, or a king's arms at once, which is very well known to be a collection of fabulous animals, apostrophe added Mr. Weller. Just as well, apostrophe replied Sam. Drive on, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller. Sam complied with the request, and proceeded as follows. His father continuing to smoke, with a mixed expression of wisdom and complacency, which was particularly edifying. Afore I see you, I thought all women was alike. Apostrophe, so they are, apostrophe observed the elder Mr. Weller parenthetically. But now, apostrophe continued Sam, now I find what a reglar soft-headed, incredulous turnip I must have been. For there ain't nobody like you, though I like you better than nothing at all. I thought it best to make that rather strong, apostrophe said Sam, looking up. Mr. Weller nodded approvingly, and Sam resumed. So I take the privilege of the day, Mary, my dear, as the gentleman in difficulties did, when he walked out of a Sunday, to tell you, that the first and only time I see you, your likeness was took on my heart in much quicker time, and brighter colors than ever a likeness was took by the profile machine, which perhaps you may have heard on Mary, my dear, although it does finish a portrait, and put the frame and glass on complete, with a hook at the end, to hang it up by, and all in 2 minutes and a quarter. Apostrophe, I am afeard, that verges on the poetical, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller dubiously. No, it don't, apostrophe replied Sam, reading on very quickly, to avoid contesting the point, except of me Mary my dear as your Wellington, and think over what I've said. My dear Mary, I will now conclude. That's all, apostrophe said Sam. That's rather a sudden pull-up, ain't it, Sammy? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Weller. Not a bit on it, apostrophe said Sam. She'll wish there was more, and that's the great art o' letter writin'. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, there's something in that. And I wish your mother-in-law had only conduct her conversation on the same genteel principle. Ain't you a goin' to sign it? Apostrophe, that's the difficulty, apostrophe said Sam. I don't know what to sign it. Apostrophe, sign it, Weller, apostrophe said the oldest surviving proprietor of that name. Won't do, apostrophe said Sam. Never sign a Wellington with your own name. Apostrophe, sign it, Pickwick, then, apostrophe said Mr. Weller. It's a worry good name, and a easy one to spell. Apostrophe the worry thing, apostrophe said Sam. I could end with a worse. What do you think? Apostrophe apostrophe, I don't like it, Sam, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Weller. I never knowed a respectable coachman as wrote poetry, except one, as made an affectin' copy o' verses the night afore he was hung for a highway robbery, and he was only a Camberville man, so even that's no rule. Apostrophe, but Sam was not to be dissuaded from the poetical idea that had occurred to him, so he signed the letter Your Lovesick Pickwick. Apostrophe, and having folded it, in a very intricate manner, squeezed a downhill direction in one corner. To Mary, housemaid, at Mr. Nupkins, Mayor's, Ipswich, Suffolk, and put it into his pocket, wafered, and ready for the general post. This important business having been transacted, Mr. Weller the elder proceeded to open that, on which he had summoned his son. The first matter relates to your governor, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller. He's a going to be tried tomorrow, ain't he? Apostrophe, the trial's a coming on, apostrophe replied Sam. Well, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, now I suppose he'll want to call some witnesses, to speak to his character, or perhaps to prove a levy. I've been a-turning the business over in my mind, and he may make hisself easy, Sammy. I've got some friends as'll do either for him, but my advice 'ud be this here: never mind the character, and stick to a levy. Nothing like a levy, Sammy, nothing. Apostrophe Mr. Weller looked very profound as he delivered this legal opinion, and burying his nose in his tumbler, winked over the top thereof, at his astonished son. Why, what do you mean? Apostrophe said Sam, you don't think he's a-goin' to be tried at the Old Bailey, do you? Apostrophe, that ain't no part of the present consideration, Sammy, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. Wherever he's a-goin' to be tried, my boy, a levy's the thing to get him off. We got Tom Wilde's park off that ear manslaughter, with a levy, then all the big vics to a man said as nothing couldn't save him. And my opinion is, Sammy, that if your governor don't prove a levy, he'll be what the Italians call regularly flummoxed, and that's all about it. Apostrophe, as the elder Mr. Weller entertained a firm and unalterable conviction, that the Old Bailey was the supreme court of judicature in this country, and that its rules and forms of proceeding regulated, and controlled the practice of all other courts of justice whatsoever, he totally disregarded the assurances and arguments of his son, tending to show that the alibi was inadmissible, and vehemently protested that Mr. Pickwick was being victimized. Apostrophe finding that it was of no use to discuss the matter further, Sam changed the subject, and inquired what the second topic was, on which his revered parent wished to consult him. That's a pint o' domestic policy, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller. This here Stiggins apostrophe, red-nosed man? Apostrophe inquired Sam. The worry same, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. This here red-nosed man, Sammy, wisits your mother-in-law with a kindness and constancy I never see equaled. He's such a friend o' the family, Sammy, that when he's away from us, he can't be comfortable unless he has something to remember us by. Apostrophe, and I'd give him something as a turpentine, and beeswax his memory for the next 10 years or so, if I was you, apostrophe interposed Sam. Stop a minute, apostrophe said Mr. Weller. I was a going to say, he always brings now, a flat bottle as holds about a pint and a half, and fills it with the pineapple rum afore he goes away. Apostrophe, and empties it afore he comes back, I suppose? Apostrophe said Sam. Clean. Apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. Never leaves nothing in it, but the cork and the smell. Trust him for that, Sammy. Now, these here fellows, my boy, are a-going tonight to get up the monthly meeting o' the Brick Lane branch o' the United Grand Junction Ebenezer Temperance Association. Your mother-in-law was a-going, Sammy, but she's got the rheumatics, and can't, and I, Sammy, I've got the 2 tickets as was sent her. Apostrophe Mr. Weller communicated this secret with great glee, and winked so indefatigably after doing so, that Sam began to think he must have got the tic de la rue in his right eyelid. Well? Apostrophe said that young gentleman. Well, apostrophe continued his progenitor, looking round him very cautiously, you and I'll go, punctual to the time. The deputy shepherd won't, Sammy, the deputy shepherd won't. Apostrophe here Mr. Weller was seized with a paroxysm of chuckles, which gradually terminated in as near an approach to a choke as an elderly gentleman can, with safety, sustain. Well, I never see such an old ghost in all my born days, apostrophe exclaimed Sam, rubbing the old gentleman's back, hard enough to set him on fire with the friction. What are you a-laughing at, corpulence? Apostrophe, hush. Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, looking round him with increased caution, and speaking in a whisper. two friends o' mine, as works the Oxford Road, and is up to all kinds o' games, has got the deputy shepherd safe in tow, Sammy, and when he does come to the Ebenezer Junction, which he's sure to do, for they'll see him to the door, and shove him in, if necessary, he'll be as far gone in rum and water, as ever he was at the Marcus o' Granby, Dorkin, and that's not saying a little neither. Apostrophe and with this, Mr. Weller once more laughed immoderately, and once more relapsed into a state of partial suffocation, in consequence. Nothing could have been more in accordance with Sam Weller's feelings than the projected exposure of the real propensities and qualities of the red-nosed man, and it being very near the appointed hour of meeting, the father and son took their way at once to Brick Lane, Sam not forgetting to drop his letter into a general post office as they walked along. The monthly meetings of the Brick Lane branch of the United Grand Junction Ebenezer Temperance Association were held in a large room, pleasantly and airily situated at the top of a safe and commodious ladder. The president was the straight-walking Mr. Anthony Hum, a converted fireman, now a schoolmaster, and occasionally an itinerant preacher. And the secretary was Mr. Jonas Mudge, Chandler's shopkeeper, an enthusiastic and disinterested vessel, who sold tea to the members. Previous to the commencement of business, the ladies sat upon forms, and drank tea, till such time as they considered it expedient to leave off, and a large wooden money box was conspicuously placed upon the green baize cloth of the business table, behind which the secretary stood, and acknowledged, with a gracious smile, every addition to the rich vein of copper which lay concealed within. On this particular occasion the women drank tea to a most alarming extent, greatly to the horror of Mr. Weller, Sr., who, utterly regardless of all Sam's admonitory nudgings, stared about him in every direction with the most undisguised astonishment. Sammy, apostrophe whispered Mr. Weller, if some o' these here people don't want tap in tomorrow morning, I ain't your father, and that's what it is. Why, this here old lady next me is a drowndin' herself in tea. Apostrophe be quiet, can't you? Apostrophe murmured Sam. Sam, apostrophe whispered Mr. Weller, a moment afterwards, in a tone of deep agitation, mark my words, my boy. If that ear secretary fellow keeps on for only 5 minutes more, he'll blow hisself up with toast and water. Apostrophe, well, let him, if he likes, apostrophe replied Sam, it ain't no business o' yourn. Apostrophe, if this here lasts much longer, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, in the same low voice, I shall feel it my duty, as a human being, to rise and address the cheer. There's a young woman on the next form but two, as has drunk 9 breakfast cups and a half, and she's a swellin' visibly before my worry eyes. Apostrophe, there is little doubt that Mr. Weller would have carried his benevolent intention into immediate execution, if a great noise, occasioned by putting up the cups and saucers, had not very fortunately announced that the tea drinking was over. The crockery having been removed, the table with the green baize cover was carried out into the center of the room, and the business of the evening was commenced by a little emphatic man, with a bald head and drab shorts, who suddenly rushed up the ladder, at the imminent peril of snapping the two little legs incased in the drab shorts, and said, ladies and gentlemen, I move our excellent brother, Mr. Anthony Hum, into the chair. Apostrophe, the ladies waved a choice selection of pocket handkerchiefs at this proposition, and the impetuous little man literally moved Mr. Hum into the chair, by taking him by the shoulders and thrusting him into a mahogany frame which had once represented that article of furniture. The waving of handkerchiefs was renewed, and Mr. Hum, who was a sleek, white-faced man, in a perpetual perspiration, bowed meekly, to the great admiration of the females, and formally took his seat. Silence was then proclaimed by the little man in the drab shorts, and Mr. Hum rose and said that, with the permission of his Brick Lane branch brothers and sisters, then and there present, the secretary would read the report of the Brick Lane branch committee, a proposition which was again received with a demonstration of pocket handkerchiefs. The secretary having sneezed in a very impressive manner, and the cough which always seizes an assembly, when anything particular is going to be done, having been duly performed, the following document was read. Report of the Committee of the Brick Lane Branch of the United Grand Junction Ebenezer Temperance Association, your committee have pursued their grateful labors during the past month, and have the unspeakable pleasure of reporting the following additional cases of converts to temperance. H. Walker, Taylor, wife, and two children. When in better circumstances, owns to having been in the constant habit of drinking ale and beer, says he is not certain whether he did not twice a week, for 20 years, taste dog's nose, which your committee find upon inquiry, to be compounded of warm porter, moist sugar, gin, and nutmeg, a groan, and so it is. ... from an elderly female, is now out of work and penniless. Thinks it must be the porter, cheers, or the loss of the use of his right hand. Is not certain which, but thinks it very likely that, if he had drunk nothing but water all his life, his fellow workmen would never have stuck a rusty needle in him, and thereby occasioned his accident. Tremendous cheering. Has nothing but cold water to drink, and never feels thirsty. Great applause. Betsy Martin, widow, one child, and one eye. Goes out chairing and washing, by the day. Never had more than one eye, but knows her mother drank bottled stout, and shouldn't wonder if that caused it. Immense cheering. Thinks it not impossible that if she had always abstained from spirits she might have had two eyes by this time. Tremendous applause. Used, at every place she went to have 18 pence a day, a pint of porter, and a glass of spirits. But since she became a member of the Brick Lane branch, has always demanded 3 and 6 pence. The announcement of this most interesting fact was received with deafening enthusiasm. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.